Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing the hymn of preparation found at the top of your bulletin. There are just a couple of things that I would like to call to your attention from the bulletin. The first one, of course, is the church office holiday schedule. Please note that. And also note the Project Warm schedule. You folks were extremely generous and giving at our Christmas Eve service. And Project Warm has a lot of financial resources. Now we need people. So please show up and help us warm some homes that need to be winterized and prepared for what's left of this cold winter. Also, you'll notice the beginning of the Wednesday night gatherings in your bulletin. That will begin on January the 20th, and Kathy would like for those folks who are interested in preparing meals or providing program ideas to please contact her. Now, in the newsletter this last week, there were several things I want to call to your attention because we will not have a newsletter that goes out this next week because of the holiday. So get online or get a copy of the newsletter from the office so you can mark these things in your calendar. The first one, of course, is that if you can't go, come and sew. There's going to be a sewing event to prepare clothes and preparations for the mission trip. And the team will leave on January the 23rd. If you will notice, the schedule is January 6th and January the 7th. And you don't have to be an expert seamstress to come and participate. There are all sorts of tasks that need to be accomplished. So please come and make your contribution in your person. Since you can't go, you can at least help them get ready to go. I also want to call your attention to the circle schedules, because that won't be coming out. The circles will begin meeting, and you will notice those in the church newsletter. So let us continue our worship today as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Please stand for the call to worship. Men and women, old and young, together, praise God and exalt the author of life. Praise God in the highest heavens. Praise God, all dwellers in the earth. God commanded, and we were created. God sustains us and enables us to grow. Praise God, all who seek to live in faithfulness. Glorify God's name and join the loving community. Know that we are chosen by God, holy and beloved. We are called into one body, the Church of Jesus Christ. Let us draw close to God and to one another. Let us join with all creation to worship God.
Please be seated, and I invite you to join me in our invocation. Height and breadth, length and depth, the whole universe proclaims your glory, faithful God. Your wisdom fills the universe with possibilities we have not tapped. Your word comes to us filled with riches we have not mined. Within ourselves is the potential for greatness, as yet unrealized. Confront us here with your eternal claim on us, that we may become the kind, compassionate, and patient people you intend for us to be. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, and verse 26. You can find this on page 305 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, we hear the story of the childhood of Samuel, raised by a priest who would become the last judge and the first prophet to the kingship for Israel. Listen for God's word to us. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's epistle reading is from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, found on the page 246 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. In this passage, Paul exhorts the readers to clothe themselves with the practices that embody the peace of Christ ruling in their hearts. Listen again for God's word to us. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
As we come to our prayer time, I'd like to lift up some special prayer requests. One is Susan McLean's nephew, Tyler, who is in intensive care, a little three-year-old with pneumonia. She asked that we pray for Tyler. For the Faulkner family, they have gone to Florida to clean out Clint's apartment, and that's going to be a trying time. For safe traveling mercies and God's comfort. And Lorianne Haygood, who will have some surgery this next week on her hand. And a Thanksgiving I wish to lift up that you would not be aware of. We have had a young couple join our congregation, but they joined through the early service. So some of you have never met them. That's Jennifer and Tyler Larkins. Jennifer comes transfer from St. Mark, and Tyler from the 96 Presbyterian Church. We hope to integrate them into the full program of the church, into Sunday school and other things, and hope that that will happen. They are a nice young couple. Other concerns I encourage you to lift up during our time of personal and private prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come before you this day to thank, praise, and glorify you together as a family in Christ. You are our rock and foundation, our hope and defense. You have been our guide, and as we have lived and worked and grown to be the people we are now. And we pray that each of us at all ages will indeed increase in wisdom and in favor with God and man. In ways small and large, your Son's teachings have shown through in our lives. We have witnessed in thought, word, and deed to the truth of the gospel and the hope and grace of your love in Jesus Christ. May we always and in every place witness the same, never being ashamed of who we are, as we are followers of your Son, Christians. Bless us as your people. Uphold us in faith, hope, and love, and make us be the salt, preserving what is good, the light, exposing what is evil. Use us to bless others. Use us to support each other as family. Pour out upon us your Spirit as you did on the apostles, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of compassion, the Spirit of truth. And as we remember this church's motto of making disciples, let us all remember that none of us are completely made yet. Not into the image of Jesus Christ, not yet. And so, Lord, help us grow into the direction of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hear now our personal prayers as we lift them up in our hearts in a moment of silent prayer. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Great, great, great. Well, I'll be with y'all in a minute, but I just brought this new book that I got for Christmas, and you won't mind if I just read for a few minutes, will you? Okay, I'll be with you in a minute. Oh, God, that was the best book I have ever read. Uh-oh. Oh, I am so sorry. Oh, geez, Louise, I didn't know you guys were still here. I'm so sorry. I was just... Well, wait a minute. How long have I been reading?
3 days.
Uh-uh, no way. 3 days? I am so sorry. You know what? I bet my family is so worried about me if I have been gone for 3 days without letting them know where I am. You know what? They probably think I'm lost. Do you think they think I'm lost? Yeah, I think so too. But wait a minute. I knew where I was. I've been right here all along reading my brand new Christmas novel. I wasn't lost. I knew where I was. Have you guys ever been so involved in playing with a new game, reading a new book, playing with friends, or trying to get to the next level on the video game that you just got, that you completely lost track of time? Has that ever happened? Mabry, darling, has that ever happened to you? Probably. I bet so. Yep. Well, you know what? That's exactly what happened to Jesus, kind of, sort of, in kind of a different way, when he was 12 years old. When he was 12 years old, his family traveled to Jerusalem from Nazareth, where they lived, so that they could go to the annual Passover festival. So they did this every year. And when it was over, they were traveling back home. His mother and father were traveling back home. And they just assumed that Jesus was probably, you know, in the crowd behind them, probably walking with some relatives or maybe with some of his friends. But guess what? You have read this story before. Oh, you are so smart. That's exactly right. He was not with them, and they were frantic. They were, can you imagine? They were so scared and so upset. What if you had been lost for 3 days and they didn't, and your parents didn't know where you were for 3 whole days? Well, that's how they felt. Well, they traveled back to Jerusalem. And after 3 days, you guessed it, guess where they found him? Where'd they find him?
The temple.
In the temple. And the temple is sort of a fancy name for what?
Church.
For a church, exactly. Well, he wasn't lost at all. He knew exactly where he had been. He was talking, answering questions, asking questions, listening. He was in deep conversation with the other religious leaders in the temple. He knew exactly where he was. Well, his parents, I'm sure, were so relieved that he wasn't lost, but do you think they might have been a little mad, too, at him for not letting them know where he was? Do you think maybe just they were relieved, but maybe just a little bit mad? Probably so. But as I said, Jesus wasn't lost at all. He knew exactly where he was. He was in his Father's house. He was in God's house. He knew where he was. He wasn't lost. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own lives and what we got for Christmas and that new book we're reading, we just can't put it down, or that next level of the video game that we're trying to get to, or in our new electronic gadgets, that we completely, we just sort of forget where we are, and we get lost. We get lost in thoughts, and a lot of times we forget about Jesus, don't we? No, we don't ever forget about Jesus, but sometimes we don't put him in the front of our brains like we should, and we forget about the true meaning of Christmas, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus. Help us to never lose Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. Amen.
And before we pass the peace today, as a public service announcement, I'll let you know I'm the poster boy for the dangers of hugging. I think I've picked up a cold somewhere. I won't be hugging anyone today or shaking hands today. So as you pass the peace, try not to pass your cold or flu symptoms, but do stare into each other's eyes, wish each other God's peace. Let us pass the peace. Let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning continues from the same chapter of Luke, chapter 2, which we read from on Christmas Eve, but beginning here with verse 41, Jesus in the temple at age 12. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard it were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I'm sorry, I won't be shaking hands today. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, Christmas is not always filled with sweetness and light. One of my favorite stories is about a little 8-year-old girl who had in her estimation, most disappointing Christmas. She did not get the gifts that she asked for. She got into an argument with her brother and later on got into a fight and was caught fighting with her brother, and she was blamed. And she took out her anger on the cat, which is a very bad idea. And the cat scratched her nose, and she found herself band-aided up in bed earlier than usual on Christmas night. She went ahead and said her prayers, even though she was a little bit angry and disappointed, but she sort of added to the tail end of her prayer this. She said, "And forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." It reminds me of the good times when our children were small that I now miss so terribly, and I didn't even realize they were the good times when I was in the midst of them. Yes, of course, older folks told me, pay attention, and of course, I thought I knew better, and of course, I did not. I missed my children and grandchildren this year. This was the first year that we didn't have anyone at all, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. No fun people. Well, just me and Caroline. And mostly we talked about that the kids weren't there. Now, you parents with kids at home, please don't let me hear you say, "I can't wait for school to start back up." And I don't want to hear that anything about the mess of the wrapping paper or the boxes or the children who should have been more appreciative. You are right in the middle of the most precious, best time of your lives, and you don't know it. And you won't know it until it passes and the quiet sets in. Young parents, I heard an amen. Young parents, look at your children in the eyes and hug them every single day except when you have a cold. And teach them what they need to know. And live before them in the way you want them to live, because they will. Sooner than you think, that quiet comes. Now, that was a public service announcement. We're going to go back now to the regularly scheduled sermon. Now, thinking about grandchildren, I can't think of my grandchildren without thinking of dinosaurs, and I think I better explain. My grandson, Eli, is fascinated with dinos. He considers it his job to teach his little sister Dory and his new brother Felix all about dinos. He'll sit them down and they will listen adoringly as he explains all about dinos and which ones are carnivores and which ones are herbivores. Before they could even talk, he would explain all about how the dinos once ruled the earth with their tiny brains and massive bulk and muscles and horns and teeth. And his bedroom is a dino room. And he, as I said, reads the dino books. And occasionally, you know, I was a biology major in college, I'll try to talk about dinos with him. And he condescends and sort of pats my leg and says, no, Bilbo, you can't feed hamburgers to sauropods. They're herbivores. And he rolls his eyes and says, Bilbo doesn't know about dinos. The one thing that my grandson did not know, this is a sermon, the one thing that my grandson did not know about dinos until last year is that there aren't any anymore. He didn't realize it. It was so very sad. He took an exciting first trip ever to the Columbia Zoo with his parents, and he'd go from one display to the next little section. And finally, at the end, and this is the sad part, he looked up at his mother, my daughter Allison, and said to his mom, he asked, where were the dinos? He didn't know. He knew everything about them except that they were extinct. Now he's changed his story just a little bit. He's still fascinated with them, but he talks about digging up their bones. And he's learned a new word, paleontologist. He's going to be smarter than me any day now. Sometimes, here's the sermon part. Sometimes as a preacher, I feel a little bit like a paleontologist. Sometimes I feel like I'm describing in detail all the attributes of the once glowing example of humankind known as Christians. I know all about their customs and their habits and the way they lived and the way they loved and the way they grew closer to the kingly example of the one whose birth we celebrate, Jesus Christ. And there are times when the lessons in our Sunday school classes and the devotions that we read every day seem a little bit like the study of some long time gone era. Back then, when real Christians roamed the earth. We admire them. We name them. We talk about their wonderful qualities, and then we close the book and we go back to our real lives, where we think we know that Christians like that are just no longer on display. We wonder if we will ever see the likes of these first Christians on the earth again. And some of us don't even dare think that one day we might become a Christian like they were. It just would not work in this modern time that we're in. It's just too complicated. It just wouldn't work. That's what I hear. How could we live with such an exclusive belief that God, the Creator God, came in flesh in the scandal of a particular man named Jesus and revealed to us what the one God had in mind for human life from the very beginning? Jesus, the God-man, who lived God's will before us and at the same time revealed just how far we have fallen from what God wants our lives to be. It is still possible to grow closer to the unique kind of human. Is it still possible to grow closer to the unique kind of human that Jesus was? Is it still possible to grow closer to the kind of fearless excitement and compassion that the apostles had? Well, let's look at Jesus again. If he is our model, and you know the story that I read, I forgot to point out, that story is depicted in glass right behind me, Jesus at the temple. If he is our model, I want to ask you, did Jesus grow? Did he grow? Look at that window behind me. It depicts the incident of today's scripture when he spoke with and he amazed the teachers in the temple with his perception and with the depth of his questions. It says in that chapter that you heard that Jesus did grow in wisdom, he grew in years, and he grew in favor with God and with people. If Jesus is our model, and if Jesus grew in wisdom, then so can we. In fact, we must. That dry and dusty old attitude of once long ago there used to be real Christians roaming the earth, that attitude is a cop-out. And we don't just study about them and say, isn't that wonderful, and close the book. And there's another dry and dusty attitude that I hear when an older saint of the church dies. You fill in the blank. We've had them. We've lost so many in the past few years. I very often hear the statement, they just don't make Christians like that anymore. That's a cop-out. You don't see them on display as often as you once did, but I think God is still making them. And if you want to be one, God the Holy Spirit is still present, still powerful, still making new hearts, still growing new people, still growing men and women in new ways. God is not extinct, and neither are God's children. Prayer is still an effective way to wrestle and to plead and to submit to the will of God, just as it was for Jesus and for all the saints since then. Christmas Eve, one of our members came up to me and mentioned that 50-something years ago, he spent a different Christmas Eve during World War II, looking up at the stars on a dark, dark night during wartime. And it reminded me of how war contradicts so much that we believe about Christ and about Christian faith and about the kingdom of God. The fact is, we are called to be faithful people even during war, and we are still at war. War makes something within us scream for Christmas and peace and a Christian faith to become real and for peace to become actual and for goodwill to become universal. We hunger for it. There's a wrongness about war. But that's the kind of world we live in. Something in our hearts knows we were made for better than the world actually is. And that we as individuals were made to be better than we actually are. The lack of the ideal which we saw in Jesus Christ walking among us does not mean that the Christian faith is lacking. It means that God has imprinted upon our souls the ideal of the life that He wants us to lead. In the midst of the Civil War, after his wife had died and after his son was seriously wounded, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow sat down at his desk on Christmas Day, and as the church bells were ringing, Longfellow wrote these lines, and I reread them this weekend, and they touched me again. He wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men." Longfellow knew, in some deep place in his heart, that Christian faith has not gone the way of the dinosaur. It is the coming of the kingdom of God that we celebrate, but it has not yet fully come. War and hate and spite and divisions of all sorts are not what we were made for. We were made for peace, shalom, the love of God, the love of neighbor, even the love of enemy, and it shall live. It shall be made manifest. The kingdom is coming. Jesus grew. And we as individuals are growing. And history is going somewhere. We believe because of Jesus' teachings that it is going toward the kingdom of God, where God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And each of us as individuals go through ages and stages. And I know that some of you think that you have arrived. And in academic and sophisticated ways, you have rejected Christianity as a nice idea, but now extinct. And the church is little more than a museum. I know. I know this because I saw it on the faces of some of the obligatory visitors on Christmas Eve. They condescend to be here with family, but think that they have thought the last thought about Christmas and Christ. They think that it is all gone now, and we're all past that, and out on the thin air of something undefined with no particular God and no particular goal. If you feel that way, and I need to confess, as a college student, I felt that way. If you feel that way, let me warn you. You're not done yet. And God is not done with you yet. Jesus grew and you will grow. Don't succumb to the conceit that we are ever finished with God, or God is ever finished with us, or that the church is an extinct part of your life. I heard a young boy in a barbershop once say this, and I knew the minute that I heard it, I would be using it in a sermon. Today's the day. The barber asked the young boy, said, "Son, who do you want to be like when you grow up?" And the boy said, "Mister, I ain't found nobody I want to be like." Christians are those who have the audacity to say, "I want to be like Jesus." I don't think any of us are there yet. Jesus, though, we have pictured today as a teenager, and he grew in faith and understanding, and I think all of us reach an awkward stage in our spiritual growth. We live in an awkward time in our world where spirituality in general is encouraged and said to be of value. But if you get too specific and too particular and too serious about your faith in God revealed in Jesus, well, you might offend someone. Jesus offended many. And maybe even the elders in the temple, not because he was wrong or he was young, but maybe because he was penetratingly true and right. If you do nothing, you will not grow. I encourage you to go ahead and risk a regular prayer time, to risk a little personal thought about faith instead of analyzing it from a distance. And remember that Jesus was young, but Abraham and Sarah were old, and they had a big spiritual growth spurt. The greatest people in the Bible are those who started out with doubt and opposition or cynicism and then grew. You can find a new attitude. You can find a new faith. You can find a fire in your bones. Look at the folks who grew. Jeremiah, the unwilling prophet. Moses and Noah and Saul, who spit in contempt and then grew. Peter, who denied and then grew. David, who was unfaithful and then learned from his mistake. Jonah, who was angry when God spared Nineveh. Hosea, whose wife would not stay home at night, but he loved her and redeemed her no matter what, and was used as a symbol for God's love for Israel. Mary, who did not understand at first what sort of son she was going to have. Then Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute. Ruth, who followed Naomi just because of loyalty. And then came to faith in Naomi's God. The people around these characters also grew, followed their example of faith, then grew on their own. If you are so past all that happens here, remember, growth beyond stagnation is possible, beyond cynicism is possible, and beyond your wildest dreams is a family tradition among the people of God. And I'll say something that will sound unexpected as I close. If you have rejected your childhood faith as inadequate to deal with the modern world, good. It's time that we all get beyond our childhood faith. That's the first step to grow into a faith that can overcome anything the world will throw at you. A living, breathing, growing faith. Walking daily with the God who has come as light in the darkness, the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ. and who is still among us as God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the presence and the comfort even in this moment of God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.